Coming up next on the Pod Wheels Network, we'll be sharing the latest episode of the Equinox Business Solutions podcast. During this edition of the podcast, we'll be talking to Equinox President and CEO Colton Lawrence about how the elections taking place this November could impact owner-operators, independent contractors, and the trucking industry in general. Here's a preview.
Our founding fathers, when they set up our government, they realized the importance of having checks and balances. And those checks and balances start with the different houses of government that we have. With this election year, there is the opportunity for change and swings in those different houses, and the control of our overall government is up for grabs. But it's important for our listeners to go out and use this podcast and use other sources to inform themselves on how the different candidates, whether it be at the presidential level, the Senate, their House of Representatives, even at the local level, we need to be more informed as voters. And hopefully this podcast can serve as a tool they can use to make a decision on how the different candidates will impact their ability to operate their businesses.
Welcome back to the Equinox Business Solutions podcast. Thanks for connecting with us again here on the Pod Wheels Network. Equinox Business Solutions is focused on exploring the business, accounting, and tax topics that matter most to truckers, particularly the men and women who move the nation's economy as owner-operators, independent contractors, and professional drivers. This podcast is also dedicated to the business needs of the fleet owners and small trucking businesses throughout the country. The Pod Wheels Network is proud to have the opportunity to partner with Equinox Business Solutions in the development of this podcast series. During its many years of service in working with owner-operators and independent contractors, Equinox Business Solutions has become a trusted resource and a leader in the trucking industry, providing tax, accounting, and business advisory services for professional drivers. As we shared with you at the top of the podcast, we're going to make a trip into the political arena by examining how this November's elections could potentially impact owner-operators, independent contractors, and the trucking industry at large. Podwheels executive producer Greg Thompson interviewed Equinox President and CEO Colton Lawrence in late September, just prior to the first presidential debate. Now, as you listen to the conversation between Colton and Greg, we would ask you to keep a couple of important points in mind. First of all, the discussion presented in this podcast is a nonpartisan examination of some key issues related to trucking. More specifically, Colton and Greg will be discussing election topics of interest for business owners in trucking, as well as independent contractors within the trucking industry. The information shared in this podcast is not an endorsement of any candidate or political party. As always, Equinox Business Solutions and the Pod Wheels Network reminds our listeners to please keep in mind that every tax and business situation is unique, and the perspective shared in this podcast should not be considered as tax advice. If you have questions regarding your specific tax situation, you should consult a qualified tax professional. During the podcast, we'll be sharing information on how you can connect with Equinox Business Solutions. Now let's join the conversation with Colton Lawrence and Greg Thompson.
Hello again, everybody. Greg Thompson with the Pod Wheels Network, back with you on the Equinox Business Solutions podcast. I'm joined once again by Colton Lawrence, the president and CEO of Equinox Business Solutions. And folks, today we're going to jump into the deep end of the pool because we're going to be talking about politics. Colton, this is a topic that you wanted to bring up, and I think it's very timely. And what I love about the approach that you want to take here is that you want to get us beyond all the noise and get into some issues that matter to owner-operators, independent contractors, the truckers behind the wheel.
Yeah, Greg, I'm excited to have this conversation today and discuss some important things about the upcoming election. We're going to try and take the political leaning out of much of the noise that is out there right now, help people understand how some very specific topics are going to impact their decisions and ultimately impact the way they operate over the next 4 years based on the outcome of the upcoming election.
Well, one of the things that we want to do here is that during a presidential election year, there's so much attention that's focused on the top of the ticket. But when you look at it, the House and the Senate are equally as important as is who is in the White House when you look at legislative agendas and how those move forward.
Our founding fathers, when they set up our government, they realized the importance of having checks and balances. And those checks and balances start with the different houses of government that we have. And as you mentioned, with this election year, there is the opportunity for change and swings in those different houses, and the control of our overall government is up for grabs. We're going to talk about how the different policies that they have pertaining and related to transportation and trucking are going to impact the ability of owner-operators and independent contractors moving forward.
And folks, the way we're going to do this is we've broken it down into three areas: taxes, AB 5 and labor law, and infrastructure, because when you look at it, those are three of the top areas in terms of what impacts business owners with trucking interest and professional drivers out on the road. So Colton, let's dive into taxes. And of course, when you look at taxes, during the Trump administration, we had a massive restructuring of the tax code, one of the largest that's happened since the Reagan administration. And when we look at a second term of the Trump administration or a Biden administration, how does that break down?
Well, as it pertains to taxes, really what you're looking at is a decision on whether we want the tax cuts that were put in place during the first term of the Trump administration to stay in place, or do you want decisions made that are going to remove many of those cuts or increase taxes pretty much across the board? Or do you want many of the cuts that came with the Trump administration to expire and be removed?
Colton, you've given us a good overview of the presidential administration options in terms of taxes on a broad level. And then let's look at it from if you have a Biden administration and you have a Democratic-controlled Senate and a Democratic-controlled House. And then if you have a Trump administration, you have a situation like you had in 2017 where Republicans control the White House, the House, and the Senate. And before I ask you this, I know that you've done a lot of independent research because there's a ton of information out there from all sides. And what you've done here, I know because of some of the links that you've shared with me, plus you've done other research, is that you have gone through and looked at a lot of independent analysis that's not one side or the other. And so that gives you a lot of information to synthesize through. But again, let's go back and look at those two options that I just talked about.
Yeah, sure. What I've done is I've gone and I have identified some of the key areas within the tax code that will change and have an impact if the Biden administration is elected into power. Some of those key areas are individual tax rates, itemized deductions, capital gains and dividends, credits, payroll taxes, and estate taxes. And so what we're going to do is we're going to compare and contrast in each of those areas, the Republicans and the Democrats, and hopefully get some information out there that allow people to make their own decisions on how tax code will impact them and whether or not they want to vote for a particular party.
Let's say that Biden is elected. You have a Democratic House. You have a Democratic Senate. You have what we had in 2009, and you have what the Republicans had in 2017. You've got a White House, a Senate, and a House. They're all of one party. And when you have that, you can push legislation through. Tell us about what those proposals are from Biden and Harris and how that would move forward and how that's going to impact taxes.
Yeah, so from an individual income tax perspective, what happened with the Trump administration and the tax cuts that they passed, the top rates of income taxes were reduced. And specifically, the top rate of 39.6% was reduced down to 37%. With a change at the very top, moving to Biden, and assuming that he has the votes in the House and the Senate to push his tax agenda, he's looking at raising those top rates and basically removing many of the reductions that took place with the Trump tax cuts back a few years ago. Trump, on his part, is looking to implement an additional 10% rate cut for the middle income taxpayers. So it would effectively lower the 22% rate down to 15%. Trump, on his part, has promised additional tax cuts, whereas Biden has promised not to raise tax on low and middle income taxpayers and simply ask the top earners in this country to pay what he says is their fair share.
And I believe the cutoff of that in terms of high income is $400,000 and above. Is that correct?
That's correct. He has identified the $400,000 mark as kind of his target that he wants to see taxes increased. Biden has not promised any tax cuts for the low income and middle income families, whereas Trump has promised not to raise taxes on the high income earners and has promised additional cuts for lower and middle income payers.
One of the things that came out of the 2017 law was that some of those tax cuts were not permanent. And I believe that Trump has also been talking about the payroll tax. So talk to us a little bit about those tax cuts that a second Trump administration is proposing in terms of middle class, and any of those ones from 2017 are going to be extended.
Yeah, this is a very important topic because as independent contractors and owner operators, you do still pay payroll taxes even if you don't realize it. And that is accomplished through self-employment tax. The self-employment tax is effectively the way that you pay into Social Security and Medicare, which is the same thing as payroll taxes. Right now, there is a $137,700 cap that takes place for payroll taxes. Beyond that amount, you do not pay into Social Security. What Biden is suggesting is that 12.4% for Social Security would kick back in for earners over $400,000. Now, I realize that that won't impact most of the owner operators and independent contractors, but for those that are running small fleets and happen to be making greater than that $400,000, and you have a business entity type that is still subject to self-employment tax, that is something that you'll want to consider in making your decision on who to vote for this coming fall. It's also important for those of you that have business entities that have elected to be taxed as S corporations, or that are in some other way taking a salary out of your business. You are paying payroll taxes as a result of that salary that you are taking, and you need to understand how this change will impact your business.
Colton, when I hear you say that about S-Corp, it has my curiosity up, and I'm sure our listeners want to know, what are some of the impacts? What are the possibilities?
So to whittle it all down in the most simplest terms, so Biden has floated the idea of a 12.4% Social Security tax split evenly between employers and employees on earned income above $400,000. Essentially, it would result in a gap on Social Security tax between the $137,000 and the $400,000, meaning if you earn more than $400,000, earnings above that amount will be subject to self-employment tax. They will be subject to payroll tax.
We've been talking about this now just on taxes for a few minutes, and there are so many implications here. It's so deep. Again, there's so much noise out there with the politics. When you dive into what the proposals are, there are a lot of implications out here between one and the other.
Yes. And as an example, itemized deductions with the TCJA, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act that was passed early during the Trump administration, itemized deductions basically were eliminated. There are a few that remain, but one of the big itemizations that was eliminated was the ability for company drivers to take the per diem deduction. They could do that through a form that allowed for unreimbursed employee expenses. With those itemized deductions going away, many company truck drivers were hurt by that. And as a result, the motor carriers have come in and started offering per diem programs to try and make these drivers whole. Biden has proposed a provision that would cap the itemized deductions at a 28% rate, and that would also allow the changes in these itemized deductions that are currently set to expire in 2025. He would then allow them to expire and possibly even pass law that would remove those limitations on itemized deductions.
Again, we've just been focusing on taxes for a few minutes here. We've got a couple other issues that we want to dive into, but what else do folks need to know in terms of the election and the different directions that taxes can go?
One interesting proposal that I saw in analyzing the Biden campaign's tax proposal was a change to child tax credits. Currently, those child tax credits are capped at $2,000 per child. There are some phase outs depending on how much money you earn. Biden is proposing to increase the child tax credit to $8,000 for the first child and $16,000 for two or more children. That is a big change. And it's important to understand that credits are a dollar for dollar decrease in your tax liability. So if you have an $8,000 tax liability, your tax liability would then be decreased by $8,000 for that first child. That's a big change. Trump has not proposed any major changes to credits. Many of the credits that our truck driver clients are used to or familiar with would remain the same.
Well, in just these few minutes, you've given us a ton to consider here. Is there anything else at a high level, that 40,000 foot level, that we need to be looking at?
Just to summarize the impact to tax law and help people make their own decision on how they want to vote this coming November, you can boil it down in just a few words. Trump is going to maintain and even increase some of the tax cuts for low and middle income taxpayers, and he's going to look for additional tax cuts for some of the high earners. A Biden administration is going to look to increase taxes on the high wage earners and keep taxes pretty much the same for the low and middle income taxpayers.
You're listening to the Equinox Business Solutions Podcast on the Podwheels Network. In a moment, we'll get you back to our discussion of the November election and possible impacts for the trucking industry. Right now, we'd like to take a moment to talk to you about Equinox Business Solutions. Through its many years of service and working with owner-operators and independent contractors, Equinox Business Solutions has become a trusted resource and a leader in the trucking industry for providing tax, accounting, and business advice for professional drivers. As everyone knows, the COVID-19 national emergency has impacted our world, our nation, and the trucking industry in a seemingly countless number of ways. There is so much happening as the country addresses the impact of COVID-19, it's important to have a trusted resource with the ability to stay on top of an ever-changing situation. Now, more than ever before, you need a team of tax, accounting, and business advisory professionals who understand the complexities of the trucking industry. The Equinox Business Solutions team is ready to go to work for you. There are a number of ways you can contact the team at Equinox. Visit the company's website at equinoxbusiness.com. From the homepage, you can fill out the Get Started form, which will send an email to an Equinox representative. If you would rather email Equinox directly, you can reach out to the company through the following address, info@equinoxbusiness.com. That's info@equinoxbusiness.com. You can also call Equinox toll-free at 1-800-533-4230 and hit option 2 for sales. The toll-free number again is 1-800-533-4230 and choose option 2. At Equinox Business Solutions, we understand the importance of being able to go from the white lines of the highway to the bottom line of your business. Now, as we rejoin the Equinox Business Solutions podcast, here's Podwheels Network executive producer Greg Thompson and Equinox Business Solutions president and CEO Colton Lawrence.
Hello again, everybody, and thanks for making the Equinox Business Solutions podcast part of your day. I'm Greg Thompson from the Podwheels Network, joined once again by Colton Lawrence, the president and CEO of Equinox Business Solutions. In part one of our podcast, looking at the November elections, as you know, we examine the possible impact on taxes. Now we're going to shift our focus to AB 5 and labor laws before discussing our final topic for this podcast, which is infrastructure. And Colton, as we bring you back into the podcast, AB 5 and labor law has been a hot topic, particularly in the early part of 2020. I know some of this has been lost during COVID-19, but it's still out there. Both parties, both campaigns have been talking about this. What's the latest on AB 5? And let's look at what a second term of Trump or a Biden administration would do with AB 5.
Some people out there are probably wondering, why are we discussing AB 5, which is actually a California law that was passed about a year ago. It's important to understand that one of the main proponents of AB 5 was Kamala Harris. She, along with others in the Democratic Party, have suggested that that type of law be pushed out on a national level. So for you owner-operators and independent contractors who enjoy the way you currently make a living, you need to understand that there will be efforts to push this type of a law out on all of the states, and that will have a significant impact on your ability to continue operating the way you do today.
And typically a Republican administration, and this has been very true of the Trump administration, they are deregulators. They've been a large deregulator. They've rolled back a lot of the Obama programs, and they've gone even further in some of the other rollbacks. What is the position of the Trump administration in relation to AB 5?
I have not found any literature on the Trump administration specifically commenting on AB 5 as it pertains to the trucking industry. However, based on policy and overall philosophy of the Trump administration and the Republican Party, it's very safe to say that AB 5 is not something that would be anywhere near their radar. AB 5 is at its core limits small businesses' abilities to operate. I came across a few different studies that showed that over 85% of independent contractors and owner operators were satisfied with the way they were making a living. Whereas on the flip side, only 45% of full-time employees reported being very satisfied with their jobs. So AB 5 is essentially trying to take away the ability of a group of people that are overwhelmingly satisfied with the way they are making a living and remove that ability from them.
Colton, I think you and our listeners know from following the news that it's not just an administration or a legislative branch that is having impact on AB 5 and labor law. It's also in the courts. This is one of those things that is going to be ongoing.
Yeah, there are currently a number of lawsuits, but there's a few primary lawsuits out there right now. And one in particular that has resulted in a temporary injunction on behalf of truckers, which is essentially freeing them from the impacts of AB 5 for now. When you talk about a Biden administration trying to enact or pass legislation that would essentially push an AB 5 type law nationwide, inevitably, it's going to end up back in the courts. That's where we can discuss the importance of the Supreme Court, because it's likely that this type of a law would end up being presented to the Supreme Court and having them weigh in on independent contractors and owner-operators' ability to enjoy the free market and operate as they choose.
And right now, as we discuss this, we are entering the end of September. As we all know from the news, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing has created an opening in the Supreme Court. And it looks like right now the Trump administration and the Senate, that is controlled by Republicans, is looking to fill that vacancy before the election or before the new year. Not to dive in too deep into the partisan politics of this, but there is discussion about if you have a sweep, which would be Biden as president, the House, and the Senate, you could see a restructuring of the Supreme Court.
You could. And so for a period of time, a short period of time, the conservative-leaning justices would more than likely strike down an AB 5 type law. Whereas if the Democrats do move forward with their threats to pack the Supreme Court, they would more than likely get justices onto the Supreme Court that would support an AB 5 type of law. This particular topic will have significant impacts on owner-operators and independent contractors' ability to run their businesses as they want. And the way they vote will have a direct impact on which way this particular topic ultimately ends up going.
Folks, we promised you three topics. We've covered taxes, we've covered AB 5 and labor law. And Colton, now let's move into infrastructure, because infrastructure impacts all of us, particularly professional drivers, because they know what the state of the roads are. One of the things about the interstate highway system that is not talked about a whole lot is that when it was first conceived back in the 50s and put in during the Eisenhower administration, that original plan had a 75-year life cycle. And we are nearing the end. We're in the back third of that life cycle. You have roads and bridges that need serious repair, as drivers can attest to. You have congestion issues because we've had incredible growth. If you look at where we were population-wise in the 50s, and now here we are in the 2020s, 70 years later, I mean, you're talking about massive change. Infrastructure is something that has been talked about a lot, but there's not been a lot of movement on this issue.
The interesting thing about infrastructure is that both parties are for an infrastructure package. They both recognize the need for this. They both want to get it done. They both want to use it as an economic development tool. Unfortunately, when you get down into the weeds of the infrastructure packages that they're proposing, the two sides cannot come together enough to get something passed. The Trump administration has put forth infrastructure packages. It's been a big topic of conversation over the almost 4 years that he has been in office. It is not something they've been able to come close enough together in terms of the two parties to get passed. The Biden campaign is currently proposing a $2 trillion infrastructure package that would be used as an economic development tool over the course of his first 4 years in office. That package would eliminate carbon emissions from the national power grid by 2035. So for those of you in coal country, that is something that would definitely be impacted. He has hundreds of billions of dollars that would be used to repair existing roads, bridges, and other infrastructure. So when we talk about using climate policy as an economic development tool, really what that means is that within the Biden package, they're looking at future technologies, electric being a primary one, to build into the infrastructure of the United States. That would include many new electric vehicles. And for truckers, that would include a furthering of electric trucks and the ability to use electric trucks. It would include infrastructure that would allow for the recharging of electric vehicles across the country. So the Biden campaign is really focusing on the ability to move away from fossil fuels, move away from other types of carbon emissions on the power grid, and try to get the United States to a place where we have really reduced our carbon footprints into the environment.
And I want to drill down a little bit more on a second term for Trump, because as you mentioned, they brought up infrastructure a number of times and it hasn't moved forward. Granted, we've had divided government with a democratically controlled House and a Republican Senate. A lot of legislation hasn't been moved forward. Infrastructure is one of those things that the majority of folks can agree upon in some form or fashion because it does create jobs. So talk to us a little bit about a second term of Trump and infrastructure.
In 2019, Trump had held a series of meetings with congressional Democrats where he was asking for the passage of a $2 trillion infrastructure package. Those meetings didn't really go too far. They were waiting until the administration was able to renegotiate NAFTA, which has since happened. But ultimately, the Trump administration canceled any further discussions with the congressional Democrats because of his frustration with the investigation and impeachment efforts on the Trump administration. When you dive into the weeds of the Trump proposal, it's much more traditional in terms of how that money would be used. It would go to the highways and byways of the United States. It would go to the bridges. There is not near as much in his package for what Biden calls the elimination of carbon emissions. There is some, but not near as much as what the Democrats are proposing.
Colton, when you talk about infrastructure, and you mentioned it right at the beginning, we're talking about tremendous costs, talking about billions of dollars, trillions of dollars. And it's something that's needed because as professional drivers know, these are the roads, the bridges that you go across, and they need to be addressed. Congestion is a massive problem. There are studies out there that show that you lose more than a week's time over a year just sitting in traffic in some major cities like Houston. Time is money, but to have improvements in infrastructure, it takes dollars. And when we talk about tax policy, as we did at the beginning, we're talking about tax cuts, we're talking about different things along those lines. We've got a national debt, we got to pay for it. And one of the most likely places that we may see an impact in that out-of-pocket cost for owner-operators and independent contractors is at the pump, because the federal fuel tax has not been raised since 1993. So what's the feeling out there?
There is widespread agreement in the transportation industry amongst the different groups, frankly, amongst the groups that typically do not agree, that we should use or we should be using the fuel tax system, the Highway Trust Fund, to pay for many of the improvements that need to be made out there across America. Unfortunately, that agreement has not passed too far beyond the transportation industry because lawmakers understand the implications that a rise in fuel tax has on their constituents. On the Republican side, there's not a consensus to use the federal fuel tax as a method of funding the infrastructure bill. However, on the Democratic side, that is a tool that they have suggested we use in order to pay for this. So at the end of the day, we've got to figure out how to pay for it. There are proposals on both sides to get an infrastructure bill passed. We've just got to find a way for the two groups to come together. We've got to find a way for the two groups to agree on how to pay for this. And if that can happen, then an infrastructure bill will ultimately get passed.
Colton, first of all, I want to thank you for all the information that we've covered with taxes, AB5, and infrastructure during this podcast. Can you go back and just touch on some of the highlights as we wrap things up?
Yeah, if I was to summarize each of the three topics that we've discussed in just a few sentences, on the tax front, the Trump administration is going to further and extend the tax cuts that they were able to pass a few years ago. A Biden administration would allow those tax cuts to expire and would increase taxes on the high wage earners. As far as AB5 and labor law, a Trump administration would continue to allow independent contractors and owner-operators to continue to operate status quo, whereas a Biden administration would be looking to implement an AB5 type law, which would have a devastating impact on owner-operators' ability to continue what they're doing today. In terms of infrastructure, both Biden and Trump administrations would be looking to pass infrastructure to improve the highways and byways and the bridges across this country. It really comes down to how that money is used, whether it uses a climate-friendly type policy or largely see a continuation of highway policy that has been in place for a number of years.
And Colton, as you and our listeners know, we are now in the countdown to Election Day on November 3rd. Early voting is starting in some states already, and it will be starting very soon as we record this podcast at the end of September. Between now and then, it's decision time. The biggest thing is to get informed, get involved, and make your voice heard.
That's right. It's important for our listeners to go out and use this podcast and use other sources to inform themselves on how the different candidates, whether it be at the presidential level, the Senate, their House of Representatives, even at the local level, we need to be more informed as voters. And hopefully this podcast can serve as a tool they can use to make a decision on how the different candidates will impact their ability to operate their businesses.
That's Colton Lawrence, the president and CEO of Equinox Business Solutions. Everyone at the Podwheels Network would like to thank you for listening to the Equinox Business Solutions podcast. As we noted in the opening of the podcast, please keep in mind that every tax situation is unique, and the perspective shared on this podcast should not be considered as tax advice. If you have questions regarding your specific tax situation, you should consult a qualified tax professional. Before we close out the podcast, we'd like to talk to you about Equinox Business Solutions. Do you have a team of tax, accounting, and business advisory professionals who understand the complexities of the trucking industry? There are a number of ways you can contact the team at Equinox. Visit the company's website at equinoxbusiness.com. From the homepage, you can fill out the Get Started form, which will send an email to an Equinox representative. If you would rather email Equinox directly, you can reach out to the company through the following address, info@equinoxbusiness.com. That's info@equinoxbusiness.com. You can also call Equinox toll-free at 1-800-533-4230 and hit option 2 for sales. That toll-free number, once again, is 1-800-533-4230 and choose option 2. Once again, thanks for connecting with us on the Podwheels Network. You can stay up to date on the latest from the Podwheels Network by downloading the Podwheels app. It's available in the Apple Store and on Google Play. Just search Podwheels in either store and download the app. Be on the lookout for the next edition of the Equinox Business Solutions podcast right here on the Podwheels Network. As always, Equinox Business Solutions and the Podwheels Network send our best wishes for your safe travels out of the nation's highways. And as the country continues to deal with the COVID-19 global pandemic, we would remind you that, in addition to staying safe, you take the necessary steps to also stay healthy as you do the critical work of keeping the American supply chain moving.